Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Union of the Unwanted. I am one of the four horsemen. The other horsemen are out with their horses. Ricky is coaching basketball. Sam is telling jokes. And Mike is, of course, as always, fighting the New World Order. We appreciate them all. We'll catch them next time around. Glad to see some familiar faces here. What I wanted to start, I sort of sent the invites out tonight with an intention. We just had the Super Bowl yesterday, and Trump renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, which is hilarious. And you know, it's just like, talk about low on the priority list. And it got me thinking about all the other things that he's removing the penny. I think he just got bored halfway during the game, to be honest with you. He just decided, like, let's get rid of the penny. You know, it feels very, very weird and kind of disjointed and almost like trolling, but you can feel sort of the impending digital tokenization of our banks kind of creeping in. I mean, you get rid of the penny one day and the next thing you know, you're using a CBDC or something like that. You know, it feels like the beginning of a slippery slope. And one of the things that he's been going on and on and on about, at first I thought he was just having some fun, was talking about wanting to make Canada the 51st state, and then going on and on about Greenland. And then I go, this is crazy. But then you find Behold a Pale Horse by Bill Cooper, and he starts talking about how they want to regionalize these things into 10 groups, and you look and you go, oh shit, the United States, Canada, and Greenland are all grouped into one. And you go, well, okay, wait a second. Is this the first time he's actually playing 5D chess, or is there something else going on? I wanted to bring the Canadians in. How do you feel about this, Darren and Graham?
Let's do it. Well, no, no.
Can't wait. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Does it matter where you are, right?
No, we can't.
Which province you're in?
Yeah, no, I'm not in if the rest of the country's in. If Alberta's to join the states, then it's just Alberta with maybe Saskatchewan, and that would be as far as I was willing to go. If it's any bigger than that, then I'm not interested.
Gotcha.
Because I'm just going to be stuck in a communist hellhole anyway, just a different flavor. And you know, I'd rather be independent, I think. I mean, I go back and forth. The thing is, I don't think we're going to have a choice. I really don't. As an economy, we are, you know, not, I can't say 100 because it's only, you know, like 83. So we're 83% dependent on the U.S. for export. And I think like 65 to 70% of our food comes in from the U.S. And we have no standing army. So, I mean, it's just, that's interesting. I mean, I think it's always been inevitable. I really do. I think it's always been inevitable that the West would, because in a lot of ways it would be almost be easier for Alberta to join the States than it would to get independence, is what it starts to seem like. Like the road to independence is almost trickier because you're doing it on your own. Now the populace is probably a little more behind that, but I think that's going to change drastically and quickly over the next couple of years. And independence is probably a little more popular, but it's always easier to negotiate when you got the power of the U.S. Army and economy behind you, and it does sort of take care of a lot of problems. That being said, I mean, I'm not, you guys might go off the fucking deep end here, so I'm kind of content to just lean back and see what happens, because the pendulum is moving at a rate that I didn't think was possible when it, because it's, you know, we can all agree the pendulum hit its end and it's coming back in the other direction. And it's back at a rate that I would not have thought possible, which makes me think that it might go too far.
Well, it's been, but don't forget, I mean, Canada's broken. It's been broken. It's unaffordable here. It's so many ways. I mean, I don't have to go through all the ways that it's broken, but I think it's a risk to the U.S. I mean, I think Canada is a risk to the U.S. We have unvetted borders. We have a whole bunch of problems with people coming in, just flowing into the country. There's the drugs in the fentanyl labs is a problem. Like, you know, whether you think that's a distraction or not, that is a problem. Our government doesn't even want to. Why are you texting me, Darren?
Your mic's not right.
Oh no.
You still sound all right. Finish up.
No. It's, I got to change it quickly. Yeah, you're right. It's probably on the other one.
I was just trying to help him out. I mean, he's right. We have a crazy fentanyl problem. We're like the 1% is just because they're not checking anything. We have Indians, dots, not feathers, creating and running fentanyl around this motherfucker like crazy. And if you, I don't know, I can swear here, right? If you start looking at major drug busts around the U.S. over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, just start looking at how many, there's like hundreds of pounds of cocaine or methamphetamine and large quantities of fentanyl, not at the border, but in the States, and how many of them have the last name Singh or, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to be, it's weird because I'm an Indian, so it's like an Indian being racist against an Indian, but we have, so I can get away with it. But we have a, you know, it's like colonization 2.0 in Canada is East Indians overtaking this place like crazy. And overtaking it to the point that now they're making giant fentanyl things and running it over. I mean, we had a case, the guy who got busted last year, well, he got busted a year ago, I want to say about a year ago taken, or maybe, yeah, about a year ago taken. He got caught with, what was it, like 490 fucking kilograms of cocaine, $50 million worth of cocaine. And he just got out after a year. Now he's on house arrest. It's just like, all right, you're good. I mean,
wow.
If I was, you know, I don't think the war on drugs is really the reason. I think it's just about, you know, we're kind of, someone's going to take us over. As you know, Canadians, they're joking today about, because they're like, oh, would you take up arms to defend Canada? It's like, you guys are fucking actively trying to take my guns, you know, like actively, like they just like a month and a half ago, rendered a bunch more of them illegal, prohibited. You know, they haven't come to get them yet, but there's a bunch of guns that you can't sell anymore, you can't buy anymore. And now the last time they took them, they literally said they were going to send them to fucking Ukraine. And now they're asking me to take up arms against the Americans? I mean, go fuck yourself. That's where Alberta's at. Go.
They tried to give my friend Leo 28 years in prison in Windsor for giving cannabis to homeless people, for giving cannabis away. 28 years from that. You're telling me that a dude sat down for a year on half of Charlie Sheen's closet?
Yeah, that's how far it's gone, right? That's how far it's gone. This is why it's an issue. And I think that the EU, the UN, the WEF will not let this happen, right? They want Canada too. So
what about England though? Doesn't England kind of have Canada? That's just fake.
No, it's there. I mean, the king's signature, the crown is still like there in the background, but I mean,
could dissolve our government.
How deep that goes. But I mean, the thing is, it feels to me like it's a real fight. Like it feels like it's a real fight, Trump against the globalism. And I mean, what choice do we have? We're either going to become, our carbon tax is through the roof right now, and we're paying for this fake climate change bullshit and the EU and the DEI and all that stuff that's happening. I mean, that's not a good path either. So we're kind of messed up both ways.
Yeah,
so I'd rather just become the States and have North America separated, and we can sustain ourselves and fuck the rest of the world. I mean,
as many problems as we have here in the U.S. And we're trying to resist, obviously, our own types of globalization and other problems. It is the best model we've had so far to have a constitutional republic, and to make it bigger is not a problem so long as the federal and the centralized power is weaker. And that's where we're hopefully heading with what's happening. But, you know, we also all here understand that, like, the technocracy is being moved in under that, which kind of supersedes in problematicness, the issue of decentralization and the power of the federal government. But, you know, ideally, we could add as many states as we wanted, and it'd be great, and everybody would be just as free, and everybody would be just even more empowered if we didn't have a sick federal centralization of bureaucratic old money power.
It's going to be way nicer when it's just AI doing all of it. And it's pretty interesting how it happens to just... it may be. Kathy O'Brien says the AI has been running the show since the 90s.
I've said that same thing.
It's interesting to me, though, that the map that Trump posted on True Social for the North American Union is identical to the one that was created in part by Elon Musk's grandfather as the original, one of the original technocrats. So we're getting the technate. We're getting the North American technate. And people are tripping over themselves to celebrate this. Trump's like, oh yeah, let's get rid of the penny. Okay, well, that's step one to eliminating cash. You know what I mean? We've already, you know, we've got the digital dollar and all that kind of stuff. But like, when you start physically removing the currency, that to me raises a forest of red flags, regardless of whether or not it costs 3 cents to make a penny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know. I think you guys are starting to split hairs on this stuff.
You got to remember that, but there's another side of the fence. So it's like, you know, we enjoy significantly less freedom and pay significantly more taxes.
I live in California, brother. I get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why you.
We're not enjoying too much freedom here. And I think this is a different Trump. This is I called him Trumpenstein the first 4 years. This is like a different character. Maybe he was replaced. I don't know, because he's the other guy did nothing but tweet and argue and but this, he's like a bull in a china shop. He's all over the place. I think that I love what's happening with USAID and all the exposure of government. I think that's great. That's at least showing people what's happening. I think, but this is more all bluster. I don't think he's going to try to make Canada the 51st state. Maybe he'll eliminate the penny. He got rid of the paper straws. I mean, he is going for low-hanging fruit there. I don't think he's going to annex Greenland or anything like that. And that really contradicts what else he's doing, because he, with this Doge thing, he is focusing on domestic corruption and the fact that our government is just so awful and it's being exposed. I mean, over 6,000 journalists were being paid by USAID. That's just a tremendous extension of Operation Mockingbird. But the left thinks it's, I mean, I've got people yelling at me all the time. It's not about, they're upset about it. They don't want this. It's like, I don't understand. Why don't you're okay. Well, it's not true. Ben Stiller didn't get $4 million to meet with Zelensky. Okay, well, Ben has said it was Russian propaganda. So I guess, of course, you know, why wouldn't we believe it? I mean, why is that so hard? Why is it hard for you to believe that Chelsea Clinton got $40 to $80 million? The Clintons have never done anything unethical. That's difficult for you to believe. That's fake news. And this is a drop in the bucket. Just imagine if this extends. Trump supposedly told Musk to audit the Pentagon. But just what he's going to do when the audits the Federal Reserve, especially, that's a big one. If Bobby Kennedy gets in there and audits the CDC, I mean, this has the potential to be revolutionary. And it is odd that while this is going on, we're worried about, you know, Stargate and mRNA and being microchipped as we're, you know, I guess floundering around and getting excited about this. So, yeah, we have to be careful about that. But I think the stuff about the other countries, it doesn't fit with what Trump is actually doing. So I hope, anyway. I mean, it's stupid. MAGA should not support that. We don't need to be, you know, going after, and we should be, you know, scaling back from the world and not going and trying to annex more countries.
Yeah. Why do we, if we've got a huge problem with our own government, why do we want to take on two other governments as well in the process?
Well, I could tell you why, because we're a giant fucking liability for you guys, and you're basically, you know, we exist at your pleasure. I mean, it's just crazy that you would just let a left-wing government slip into communism directly next door. I mean, that's what it kind of boils.
But then you bring the liberals in and they vote. You know, that's the same thing with.
That's why you got to section it off. You got to just leave Ontario to fucking die, and you just start taking chunks. It's like, okay, you guys can come. You guys can come. But I mean, I think, you know, it's ever since Polk, it's manifest destiny, man.
And look,
it's always been meant to be. It's like whether we want it or not, whether it's organic or not, it's always the North American Union has just been inevitable from day one. They've been talking about it for 200 years. And here we are. And from the Canadian side of the border, it's like, what fucking choice? What's the difference? I'm being held hostage by Ontario and Quebec. And, you know, at least if, from our point of view as a state, we would have a lot more rights. And hey, just as a caveat, I am sitting on the third biggest oil reserve on the planet over here. So, I mean, you're going to tell me that American style democracy was not always coming to Alberta? It's just a matter of when, because you guys can say drill, baby, drill all you want, but you ain't doing shit without our heavy crude. You really aren't. So, I mean, Alberta was always destined to become a state. It's just a matter of when and how bad and what it was like. I mean, when you guys actually need the oil, it's not going to be, you know, it's just going to be a phone call. And then what are we going to say? What's our defense?
The problem is if it's a 51st state, that's one thing. But if it's the North American Union, that like the CFR put out something that William Weld co-authored and Heidi Cruz signed off on. I wrote about this 10 years ago when Ted Cruz was in the running. There, the features of it have interoperable military, and that's what totally flagged me when they said the compromise for no tariffs is sending 10,000 troops to the border in either direction. That's totally a stepping stone to the NAU, in my opinion. And then the biometric, you know, whatever, how to get across the border, a free market for labor and goods. But the really scary thing is the way they were planning on doing it is whatever, like environmental law or labor law or whatever the laws that contradict among the countries, the most restrictive law would be the one that was adopted. And it even says in that document to set up an organization, and it literally says, like the Bilderberg Group, to teach the legislators how to change the laws internally, which is totally unconstitutional. But if he's talking about a 51st state, that's one thing. But if this, and I think it's pretty obvious, it's just a backdoor to the North American Union, then the implications are more of an equal footing, which would bring it to a more socialist thing.
But set up by the WEF young global leaders.
Do you mean like Sam Altman, Larry Ellison, and all of the other billionaire tech overlords that were in the front row at the inauguration, who were all defense contractors, who all own the most, you know, utilized communications platforms in the country?
There was a direct
attack on the deep state, though. I mean, I don't think we can underestimate how this
Larry
is unraveling
is the deep state.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Both things can be true at the same time. Yeah, we don't have to like choose between them.
I didn't hear you, Steve. What's the deep state?
Right.
Larry Ellison is the deep state.
I know, but whatever. The mechanism that they were using is being unraveled. We've all been talking about it for 10, 15 years now. And now Canada's got their own aid. All the countries have their own aid. The whole mechanism is falling apart. You're telling me that it's a real, like, deep, deep plan that they're just going to unravel that, like, little by little and then turn the whole thing into a new world government? I mean, it's going to end up in war. I mean, the globalists versus North America.
How long have we been talking about the Great Reset, Graham?
Yeah, this is a great reset, but it's not. But it's a real great reset. It's not a fake war. Well,
what is happening right now? I wrote today on Substack is that this is exactly what we would have expected a President Ron Paul to do. I'm talking about auditing all these things. I say we would have been saying, "Oh, man, right, this is what we expected, right? This is what people conservatives wanted back in the '80s with Ronald Reagan. They expected him to do something like it. Of course, he did nothing." He didn't accept the recommendations of the Grace Commission, which showed them 33% of all government expenditures is waste, fraud, and abuse. He did nothing. And so you're seeing now in lifetime how it's way more than that now. So, yeah, both as Lindsay, I think, said two things can be true at once. Yes, Elon Musk is really weird. He's not my idea of a good guy walking around with an upside-down cross around his head and dressing as Baphomet. And his mother's probably a witch or something. I don't know, with flashing occult signs around. Maybe he wants to chip everybody. I don't know. But I think I'm concentrating right now on this is good. This is good. However you look at it, they're exposing, you know, to whatever degree they're doing. When you're exposing, we don't even know it's a drop in the bucket. I had Megan Walsh, John Walsh's daughter, she's a big whistleblower herself the other day, and she thinks, I'm sure if they dig it, they'll have things that the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, organizations, they'll all be involved in that. We've even seen just, and this is USAID. This isn't the biggest thing at all. It's way bigger than I thought it was. But you're already discovering all these journalists on the payroll, including fact checkers. The fact checkers that are contradicting all of us, they're being paid by the government. And that's huge to know. And that's why they're so upset about it. And they're kicking and screaming. The New York Times got tons of money. Politico is being paid off by I don't know how many government agencies. That's, I mean, yeah, they ought to be embarrassed claiming they're free press. So I think, yeah, the other stuff I'm worried about, and I don't like, but I'll, you know, cross that bridge when Trump does it. I never expected Trump to do anything. So all this is kind of hitting, you know, at one time, and, you know.
But see, Don, it's kind of what you said and what Darren said. Like you didn't think these are sort of connected, or it doesn't seem like one's leading to the other. But if you look at this being an attack on this globalist deep state, whatever deep state number one or two or whatever. But then Darren, like Darren was saying about this, is you've got this communist liability right to your north. I mean, so those things are connected. If you're going to attack the deep state like that, you know that something's going to, like, that they're going to be doing whatever with Canada, hanging on to it, corrupting it even further, and, you know, just housing whatever kind of attacks they not physical necessarily, but whatever they need to fight against America up here. So I think it kind of makes sense that he needs to sort of take control of the whole of North America the way he's going about this.
I don't have any objection necessarily if he does, but I just I think it kind of interferes with his other stuff. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm focusing on what he's done. And this is all I care about. And of course, the deportations, which you can't, I still am unclear what's really happening there. There's a lot of bluster and the numbers don't make any sense and they all could be lying, but this is happening in real time. We're seeing this stuff revealed and it's great. I never expected it. And yeah, so all the other stuff, yeah, we'll worry about it. We have to be definitely vigilant to make sure that come up behind us and jab us, you know?
I think that being hopeful about it, which is, I like hope, but that you're assuming that his motives are pure and that his methods are effective. So what I think is happening is they're taking all the people out, but just to consolidate power. It's not like a normal, like a change in government. I'm not like a huge fan of like the Reagan thing and Newt Gingrich and stuff, but, or like Clinton and the contract with America, but they did it in a way that had some lasting effects because it was done in a, you know, had the whole government thing. This is one off. The best you're going to get is that it lasts for a little while until the next guy comes and does it this way. But until I hear them actually wanting to reduce in a like a clear way the scope of government, just taking people out, they can replace that with AI. Like, I feel like this is the technocracy. Yeah. All these guys are the technocracy. What else would they be doing this for? It's like McDonald's replacing people with iPads. Like, I think that's what's going on here.
It's the deep state people we don't like are being replaced with the deep state people we do like.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's
important to clarify, though, that like these people aren't on the same side. And it actually does matter. And it doesn't mean that either of them are on our side, but there are actually different factions. And I think it's Yankee one, and Cowboys, I think it's important yeah. because I think there's a lot of people out there who genuinely believe that there's just one unified power and that they all have the same goals. And it's not true. And the best way for me to look at this, some people say it's the Satanists versus the Luciferians. Sure, go with it. Like, it works. But for me, it's like it's the oldest money and the newest money. And that's the two factions. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually a bigger fan of the newest money.
Well, where did Elon get his money?
And I also look
though?
At like technocracy does not necessarily have to go the way that they want it to go, just like so many things don't. Technology is absolutely coming no matter what. Like, there's no stopping AI and there's no stopping this technology, like, no matter what. Unless there's an EMP that takes out like the whole world's electric grid. So, like, as people, we just have to know that there are actually different factions. There are actually differences between them. We have to be clear when we're talking about it. And it's great. We should absolutely resist the technocracy, but it'd be pointless to resist the technology.
But Elon was created by the government. Like, the tech and the defense industry are sisters.
Well, they're all the government. The Luciferians money. And the Satanists and the old money and the new money are all the powerful. They're all the elite. They're not us. Like, they're absolutely.
But I mean, Elon is an extension of the Defense Department. Like, how do you think of him as something different? He's, to me, he can't possibly be running five companies. He's not a CEO. he's a face guy. He's an actor.
No, I know, but he's
just
also
like
been...
Trump is not. There's no way that he was a time traveling, like, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he got all his money from the government. He got a pass on the casino laws. His father was the. I agree, it's not one group, but they're. But yes, they maybe they're fighting on who's going to control the technocracy. Yes, but once you consolidate the power at the top and you make it so it can swing with the pendulum, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And I would rather less opacity, less public-private partnership stuff than just faith. Yeah. You just have, it's like Obama. People
I don't
have
think
faith
anyone here has faith in any of them.
Well, I'm just glad like they're fighting. Luciferians. Yeah. Yeah, I like the Luciferians versus the Satanists. That's a great way to put it. But certainly, I don't think Trump's motives are right. I call him Trumpenstein for a reason. This is not what I expected out of Trump 2.0. So it is, I'm very skeptical of it. But all I can say is that once you let the genie out of the bottle, once you put this fake guy Trump out there to kill the third party movement and take all the unrest out there, the populist sentiment, you do risk if you don't give them something eventually. So that's why they're probably throwing a little red meat our way now. But once you open up and people, especially if they audit all of these agencies, now if this is a one-off, then yeah, it goes back and nothing. If they stop after USAID, they go out to the Pentagon, CIA, FBI.
But auditing will tear down what's there, perhaps, but only to replace, the CIA could yield to the NSA. The CIA has to get its funding from Congress. NSA gets a blank check. It's not necessarily better. The USAID thing, they're just the CIA front.
Can we examine something real quick, please? And I think you guys all know what I'm talking about. In Trump's first term, he had a huge push to privatize all of the, or to, but instead of the public-private partnership, it was the private-public partnership. That's what he was trying to do with the intelligence community and a number of these other organizations. And yes, in like pure libertarian theory, that sounds like it's reducing the size of government. What it does in effect is reduce the accountability mechanisms that those institutions have. Makes it harder to file FOIA, makes it harder to call somebody in front of a congressional committee and all of these kinds of things. Makes answers even more impossible, and it makes tracking that money and what's done with it even more difficult. I've been calling this the bait and switch administration since like day one, because that really seems like what they're doing. And every little rope-a-dope along the way. Okay, sure. Yeah, we've got rid of a CIA cutout in USAID. That's good. Ross Ulbricht gets to breathe free air. I am overjoyed about that. I've been advocating for Ross's liberation for a very, very, very long time. In my opinion, it was probably worth Angela McCardle selling the Libertarian Party up the river for a generation in order to get him out. Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. I'm not. But the price of freedom is what? What's the price of freedom?
Eternal vigilance.
Constant vigilance.
But you're right. But the problem is, I think once you disclose this, this is why, as an old lefty, you know, back in the day, we talked about sunshine laws all the time. Sunshine laws, disinfectant is the best, and this is what this. So any of that is good, regardless. And I think that is dumb. Now, of course, you do risk, because the American people are just generally so stupid and so dumbed down. But I think the more they see of this stuff, the only thing that's holding anybody back from applauding this is Trump, Trumpenstein, because they hate he's doing, and now Musk. You know, I get people that hate him. They see the exact same way. So they don't care what's being revealed. Oh, it came from Musk. It's evil. You know, it came from Trump. It's evil. You know, so and that's what I hear. I get that all the time. It's not. They're not exposing waste. You don't understand that. I said, okay, I don't know. It's all fake news. It's all Russian propaganda. And that's their only answer they have. But the more that gets disclosed, especially if more, this is kind of a giant Epstein list, really. If you see all these audits and you see more and more recognizable names, at some point you can't just keep saying it's fake news. So I hope it keeps going on, and I'm going to applaud them doing it. But I do fear it's. You've already got judges constantly saying he can't do this and he can't do that. But you have J.D. Vance now saying, kind of going into my territory. I'm the only one out here since Thomas Jefferson is talking about judicial review, and how disastrous this is. J.D. Vance is almost saying judicial review. And that's exactly what's happened. That's not the way the city. Yeah, it's not.
Overturn Marbury versus Madison. I totally
yeah,
agree.
Exactly. What you're not supposed to have a system where, as Thomas Jefferson said, this is not what we meant.
One branch does not monitor the other. That, yeah, you know what's the remedy for it is if Congress passes bad law, there's no mechanism in the Constitution for them to enforce it. So it's really state nullification. Then, so that is why they had to invent the Department of Justice after the Civil War, because they could not enforce congressional. The South still wasn't doing it for them. So they put an enforcement mechanism, which really blows up the whole Constitution. And but you should get rid of Marbury versus Madison, get rid of the Department of Justice, and restore state nullification of bad congressional law.
Well, no, I agree, but I think what this will, and it's already starting to see, because, you know, again, J.D. Vance is associated with Trump, so of course, you know, he's going to be despised by the media for how, to whatever degree he's real, but this will end up, they'll try to frame this as a debate between Trump being a dictator and trying to, the judge is trying to rein in Trump, and, you know, he's overriding them, he can't do that, and yes, he, I don't like the executive order stuff, but at this point, I don't know, you know, but they've all done it, and we can't get Congress to do anything.
Most of what he did was just overturn. He overturned more Biden executive orders in one executive order than all of his other executive orders. So they started it. They did the same thing with Obama. Let's increase presidential power because we love Obama. It's like, hey, what if you get a guy you don't like? What if you get an orange guy instead of a black guy?
Exactly.
You know? But look what happened.
Judicial review becomes so disastrous because when you get injections of pure democracy like Prop 187 back in the day, which would have solved the immigration problem, passed overwhelmingly in a different California. What happened? It went to a federal judge. Unconstitutional. And that's it. The will of the people was thwarted. That's not what this system is supposed to be. The founding fathers would go nuts over that. One stupid judge is going to overturn millions and millions of people what they voted for. And so I hope this gets talked about because judicial tyranny is out there. We saw that with lawfare and we're still seeing it. And so at least these topics are being discussed. But as I've written many times, as long as Trump is in the center of it, and he is in the center of everything, you're going to have good people that are just, they hate him so much that they're going to, I mean, you know, I say, you can hate Trump all you want. He's ridiculous. He's, you know, he's what he is. But so why do you, now you like the CIA, you like the FBI, you like George W. Bush, and they do.
Soros.
Soros, they like them all because of Trump.
They got their marching orders and they just follow it. And they don't even know how to argue any of their points. They don't even know what they're saying. They don't even know why. No. Their best arguments, they're like, oh, Elon Musk is an unelected blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so is every fucking person you have ever seen in government, except the few people you voted for, you fucking morons. That is what the government is. It's all unelected people. Like, flash news break, but like they just started paying attention and they literally have no idea what they're talking about. And all they know is they're like really scared and upset. And they have no idea why.
Administrative law, which is legislation from the executive branch, is totally unconstitutional. I went to law school, first day of the class, admin law. The professor said, I'm not talking about the Constitution in this class. I am not. We would spend the entire time, you know, whatever. So he has all this power to make this legislation, has all these people work for the executive branch, totally unconstitutional. And everybody deserves what they get. However, I don't think that this is, I think that this is a setup for many fewer people doing the same amount of work with less transparency. And I think it's going to be more command and control. I mean, they talk about e-government. They talk about AI. You know, his guys are talking about this stuff. That's what they're doing. And Vance, if you look at his investments and his connection to Thiel, his
Peter
story,
Thiel, sure.
He is a created person. I'm certain he took those assessment of men tests, which were created by the guy who messed up Ted Kaczynski's mind. That guy won a Congressional Medal of Honor for these tests. So when Vance joined the service, he had to have taken those tests. And I think they were like, man, we got a live one here. And ever since then, he went to Yale. The lady says to him, his teacher says, oh, write a book. And it's a bestseller. And Ron Howard makes it a movie. He goes to a Peter Thiel concert, you know, and he like shakes his hand afterwards and gives him $100 million, basically. Gets a job. He didn't show up. Bars and banking. You got to show up 120 hours a week. Like, that guy is a created person. Then he converts to Catholicism, marries an Indian chick, which I think is absolutely part of you know, getting him positioned for the integration of India into the Anglo-American thing further. So those guys are created, and you look at his relationships, well, they are. And that's all that technocracy from the right.
When you scratch the surface, though, they're all my favorite podcaster now is Jason Whitlock, black guy who does a great job, you know, analyzing especially ghetto culture. But he talks about people being installed. These people are installed. Someone installs them, and they put from idiots like Stephen A. Smith on ESPN all the way up to people like J.D. Vance. They're installed, and they if you look in their background, it never makes sense. That's why I still love RFK Jr. Everybody knows his background. There's nothing hidden there. He comes from the Kennedy family, who they've been killing for decades. So, you know, they're not going to get any secret funding from him. But everybody else, when you look at them, AOC comes out of nowhere. The only waitress in the history of the world that somehow, you know, gets elected to Congress. And her own brother said that she, you know,
she was Ted Kennedy's intern. She was Ted Kennedy's intern.
AOC,
that's bullshit.
Yes.
She wasn't even a bartender in the beginning.
She wasn't even a...
It's bullshit.
She had to be very young then. She's only like 34.
Yeah, she was
now,
in college. She was at Boston College.
In the freaking Global Studies program.
Her shit is lies.
Yeah, she's...
RFK was a bad boy, too.
Yeah, he was.
She was sent
There's something about Mary.
For a while, wasn't she?
Hmm? Say it again.
I thought she was sent to another country to work for a while.
AOC? She might have been. Stacey Abrams was like that.
Yeah, and she had a tech startup right before she became a bartender.
Yeah, yeah, which was like funded by the government and stuff. Yeah, and she wasn't the place she supposedly worked did not even exist when she supposedly worked there.
Well, her own brother said she was hired. She was as an audition for Congress, and I can't find the guy now. But yeah, I mean, all these people. But that's what I'm saying. If you look. All of them have this kind of background.
They're installed. Agreed.
I don't know that Ron Paul
Who
has that kind of background.
Vance?
I don't know.
Who do you think installed Vance? Because saying, like Lindsay, like there are two sides here, where did he come from?
In Qtel, probably.
The technocrats.
In Qtel, yes.
But who
are the, are there right technocrats and left technocrats, Lindsay? Like, do you think Vance is, like, explain to me how you think that the separation works. I'm not saying there isn't one. There's that CNP and the CFR and all of that. But
I don't think they're left or right. I think they're technocrats or not. I think they're old money or new money. I think they're Satanists or Luciferians. I don't think they give a shit about left, right.
But like, is Elon and Vance and Trump all on the same side, or are they some of the moles, or what?
They used to call this.
I mean,
Yankee
I don't know them. But they are all on the
right.
Same
no,
side.
I'm just trying to understand the paradigm. Like, I'm serious.
Technocrats are not a monolithic group necessarily, because within that Silicon Valley, Sand Hill Road group, most of them are left leaning. Peter Thiel is like not. And so there's a bifurcation there. Not all the PayPal mafia gets along. And so,
well,
you know, it's not...
tech bros aren't all technocrats.
They're not all...
I mean, there's plenty of tech bros who are like Anonymous style, like hacker style, like actual liberation, you know.
Although if you listen to Anonymous lately, they're very upset that their USAID funding got cut off.
Yeah, well, Anonymous hasn't been Anonymous for like 10 years. So let's be real here. But
I used to co-host Anonymous Bites Back. I know.
Yeah, I know.
this is just an updated version of the Yankee and Cowboy War. You know, when I was starting to research the JFK assassination, Carl Oglesby, who was a socialist, I think he was a student from Democratic Society, he wrote a book called The Yankee and Cowboy War. And he talked about these warring factions. You had basically the Yankee types or the East Coast establishment, the Rockefellers and Bushes. And then the Cowboys would be the LBJ at the time when he was president. So I can see that there's something like that. I don't know. It's probably not Yankee and Cowboys now, but maybe it is technocrats, or maybe it's old money versus new money, Satanists versus Luciferians. So they're, I mean, look, the FBI and the CIA hate each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know they're working towards the same end, but they think of themselves as like enemies.
There's egos, sure. And there's, this isn't, I think we're trading in the devil we know for the devil we don't know in the technocracy. And in doing so, I'm glad that there's a new segment of people out there, normies, that are understanding what USAID does. Now, whether it gets dismantled, centralized, put under the State Department and run covertly in a more devious fashion, I'm sure all that shit's going to happen. But just the fact that the normies are like, wait, what? They pay journalists? And you're like, yeah,
that guy you listen to, that podcast that you download, that dude's paid by a company that's paid by USAID. Are you getting the picture now? Are you starting to understand what the mainstream alternative media is? So I, at the bare minimum, I'll take the victories where we can get them. Yeah. And that is that a new segment of the population is going, holy shit, the media is like, I thought they were just a bunch of lying assholes. I had no idea that they were devious. You know, they were partners with these government agencies. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, they're getting paid to say this. They didn't pass the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 to not use it.
This well, it has transgender implications, DEI. I mean, it goes deep. It goes into all that social wars as well.
Well, yeah. That's assuming that those are. I mean, I talked today in Substack about. I don't. I mean, maybe they're really financing these DEI things, but it goes back to when, you know, going back to like the 70s and the 80s, they had disclosures about money being wasted on, you know. I remember one of them was a study on the cause of tricycle accidents. And I said at the time, how would you conduct a study like that? You hide in the bushes and watch people, toddlers. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. So I think they throw this out to make people upset. Oh, my God, there's a transgender comic book. I think that could just be another giant black hole. And that's what you were seeing. This is all slush funds, black holes. The intelligence
I agree 100%,
already,
Don. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, but can't we all agree that it's sad that we're not going to get anal imprint toilets? Like, God, you guys, why are we cutting the funding
Japan
for this?
Japan has them. Why
know,
can't
man.
We?
I know.
I see those tiny houses in LA and they do have like smart sphincter sensors.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Wonderful.
I think a lot of that is, as Don is suggesting here, and as history has proved, it's artificial studies and programs that are then utilized for covert, you know, warfare, for psychological operations, for the kind of John Perkins-style economic hitman escapades. Yeah, Don's spot on there.
Yeah, I think it's either way, it's awful. I mean, I don't know which is worse, if they actually are wasting money on that stuff or if they're just lying and just throwing out, you know, inflammatory things to get the right wingers upset and get traditionalists upset. This is terrible. I don't think they paid $500 for a toilet seat back in the day. I mean, I know they're stupid, but they're not that stupid. And again, but I think that's how they tried to explain whatever little oversight we had over the money they spent back then. They would just throw these things out there. Now we're seeing this is, again, if the people, if they weren't so stupid and controlled and they could get past the Trump thing, they would just forget about it and just focus on this thing. My God, this is how our tax dollars are spent. And you wonder why we have our Canadians that are here. I call America socialism without services. We pay enough taxes to have a nanny state. But now you're seeing basically why we don't, because none of the money actually goes to these services. There's all these slush funds and black holes that we don't even know. So if you've ever tried to get services from government here, you wonder why it's so hard.
Because we pay the same taxes. If you look, we pay the same kind of taxes, maybe not, but like on the marginal rates for sure. And but you don't get anything, which I think is kind of like the setup, like libertarians. I always say they die by the sword, but they don't live by the sword. They'll go and say, we don't want any of these services. I'm one of them. I marched against Obamacare 3 times in Washington, but the taxes don't go down. And I mean, I don't want Obamacare. I think actually the whole medical thing is a way to get you sicker. So I don't think healthcare is a good, but I'm just saying, you know, some place is the same taxes and you don't even get it. It's,
I think you guys have less taxes and we don't get,
I think
we
maybe
don't,
on
I mean,
average,
and our services don't work worth a shit either, even though we pay for it. So I don't know. Oh, I mean, Darren's looking
at your own slush. You might have your own slush funds up there too.
Yeah, oh yeah, we do. We do. It's called Global Affairs. And there's like, Darren just saved 173 pages of line items of these programs that are exact same as you guys got. I mean, this is why I'm excited about it too, because it's not just a U.S. problem. It's a Western problem, a global problem. And we've been talking about these NGO webs for a long time and finally they're getting attention.
Yeah, it'd be good to have less bloat either way and less bureaucracy either way. You know, and again, we're staying vigilant to the technocratic takeover and hopefully drawing people's attention there too. But people really are not capable sometimes of understanding even what we're talking about.
I just think, you know, my son tells me all the time, you guys don't know how to accept a win. You don't know how to take a win. We don't know how to win. We always say, well, yeah, but what else, you know? What happens when the shoe falls, you know? Take this as a win. This is a, I mean, I've been, you know, awake since being a teenager and when nobody was awake. And I've been waiting for something like this my entire life. And you know, Trump was, there's a YouTube video of Trump recently coming out and saying the CIA killed Kennedy. I mean, I never thought I'd see a president saying that. I mean, that has manifestations. You know, it does. All these things added up together, regardless of whether, you know, it's a great movie. Meet John Doe said, Gary Cooper said, it's bigger than whether or not I'm a fake. Yeah, Trump is obviously a fake, but if these good things get accomplished, take it one step at a time. Right now, just one little eight, relatively small agency is being revealed. All these awful things are happening under its auspices, where money's going in there to tons of people and causes that it shouldn't be going to. So we have to assume the much bigger agencies, it's on a much grander scale. So I don't think they can stop this. And the more they do, I mean, the courts can try all they want, and they've already had one judge in Pennsylvania that stopped them for. I mean, I, you know, as somebody who gets Social Security, I want to see what's going on with Social Security. I talked in Survival of the Richest, my book, about how back then the IRS acknowledged, I have the quotes from officials, that illegal immigrants were using fake dependents. They were just making up however many kids they claimed they had back in their country. And for tax purposes, they know how many Social Security has been stolen. And Elon Musk has come out and said in Social Security, they're pilfering the Social Security fund for illegal immigrants as well. So this is something we all need to know. But what they do is they couch it on, oh my God, they're going to, and they actually turn that into, they're going to take your Social Security. And maybe they want to do that. I don't know. But if you're exposing the fraud, I think that's the first remedy to fixing it. So I, you know, you have, this is how you go about reform. It may not seem, but I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm excited about seeing all this stuff. And I just wish we'd stop worrying about the terrible things that might happen. And maybe they will, but we should address that as soon as they start doing it. Well, wait a minute. And then we have to cut, focus on that. And we have to be able to not be in lockstep with, oh, we love Trump or we hate Trump. You know, we have to, I'm a Trump agnostic. So just look at, if he does something good, he does something good. If he doesn't, then we go after him.
I
Yeah, you can
agree.
tell by the fruits, right? And you're allowed to celebrate the fruits when the fruits are good. And you can even say, hey, I think they planted this tree so that we would later cut it down and grow a different one. And that's also okay. And you can still say, I still like the other tree better. Right? Like you can say, like, I think they flooded us with immigrants so that we could be happy they deported them, and you can still be happy they're deporting them. Like, you can do both things at once.
I'm reserving judgment until I see what Kennedy does, because I think I don't care about money and intelligence agencies. I think it's really easy to fake that shit around, and it's easy to just put in some new stuff. And sure, maybe you can put in some crooked AI or any sort of, I mean, I think the AI thing is overblown and it's about to implode on itself. And I spend a lot of time using AI, so I don't, not that I have standing because I'm not developing it, but I do notice a retardation setting in that I think is just going to get worse until it's actually retarded. And I think that, you know, like I said, to finish that thought, I mean, Kennedy's got all the cards. Everything else is just money and bullshit that could be getting shuffled around. Kennedy's got the cards of 4 million kids a year and implications for the kids born in my country every year and the kids born in the UK every year. And Trump said he was going to do this round one and he fucked us in the ass. So this time I want to see what happens. If it's, it all boils down to what RFK does, in my opinion. If RFK actually does something, maybe
Absolutely.
makes these vaccines, you know,
I
not even if they're
RFK's whole confirmation hearing was all about how he loved vaccines, though.
Yeah, I know, but
and you know, denying
that's
or
why,
denying the existence of
Darren, right?
onesies.
That's why Darren's saying
Because
that he
I've been
has to wait
fucking
and see.
listening to RFK for
No.
15 years,
No,
since
and that's
way before he was
told.
involved in any politics. So I know what
I,
this.
I, I,
So
I'm
that's
with you,
why
my brother.
that
I
is
am,
why.
dude. I agree. And look, dude, I agree with you, Darren. I agree with you, Graham. I agree with you, Lindsay. All of these things are good things.
Well, no, he hasn't done shit for
Well,
5 years.
hang on. Let me finish my thought here. Like bringing to light a lot of the things that have been exposed are very, very good things. Getting people to wake up, ask questions, look at the media as a largely intelligence community-funded operation, that is tremendous. I never thought, you know, 20 years ago when I started looking at this stuff, that I would see this being openly discussed, let alone being audited. You know
Yeah,
what I
but I don't
mean?
care about that. That's not my point. My point is I don't care about any of that shit. It's either vaccines aren't mandated anymore and people actually get a choice. And I mean, not fake mandated so that 2 years later, all the states mandate him and they get you that way. And he does it like I need a few years to see how that plays out. But right now, you know, 40% or 40 of the states are mandating shots to go to school and to do all this kind of stuff. So that's, yeah, that's all I
well,
care about.
Well, Steve,
I
want to
see that shit stop so that there's actual informed consent.
Me too.
I want to see some actual studies, and yeah, that's everything else, you know, whatever. It could be bullshit, but if he stops these kids from getting these shots, then
absolutely.
That's, and that's Steve, the biggest winner.
Steve is right in saying that they RFK was, I mean, he was ridiculous at times. He was good at times also, but I think obviously he was trying, and I don't know why they do this, but they all do it. Tulsi Gabbard wouldn't say that Edward Snowden wasn't a traitor. I mean, Kash Patel would say we're looking forward, not backwards. You know, so hopefully they're all just doing that to get approved. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it's
because
stupid.
I've seen what he's been saying for 15 years, and it's a very
exactly
clear message in the opposite direction. So that's
exactly
like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get the keys to the castle? Either you're not going to do shit, and I will immediately say this is bullshit, or you're going to throw us a rope on vaccines. Because I think when it boils down to everything else, the vaccines is the most important issue of this fucking election.
But also, all the drug shit.
I mean, if we see drugs off of television, the implications of that are so far reaching. It's fucking crazy. Now you see all of these fucking media companies are no longer captured, because right now they're captured by fake pharmaceutical advertising.
Exactly. If he just cleans the water and cleans and takes the preservatives out of foods, or at least everything's labeled.
Because my concern is everything else is a smokescreen for that not fucking happening.
Our expectations.
That's not going to happen. Everything else is like, oh, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. But nothing fucking happens to the pharmaceutical companies. And that's what my real concern is, because the first time Trump got elected, he said all this shit too. He did his thing with Del Bigtree. And I talked to Del Bigtree, and he's like, yeah, it was bullshit. We basically got fucking showing the door. And so, you know, here we go again.
He didn't call Bobby Kennedy, so he had to say he was going to start the commission. And that's why I don't know why Trump 2.0 is so different, because I think he's an actor. I think this is all a script. Why they're doing this, I don't know. But I'm enjoying the show, and what they're doing, mostly all the domestic stuff they're doing, most of it is stuff that I would want, and I think, and most of us would want. Again, if when we were supporting, I was supporting Ron Paul for president, this is the kind of thing I would have applauded and expected him to do. You know, how we have to get rid of waste and all this. So this is exactly what you would expect.
More, though.
As somebody said, because we've created this mammoth nanny state that provides no services, there's so many millions of people that are dependent on it. So we have to, if you pull the plug on it, there's going to be more people in the streets. Not only the government workers who can't do anything else, and there won't be jobs for them anyhow, especially with AI coming in, but all these people that are on disability and all various programs that we've created out of the chronic sickness and everything that RFK Jr. talks about. Nobody else is talking about that. So we have to be careful. How do we acclimate to that new world? Because they have to have a way to live as well. And that's what the right wing always gets wrong, the libertarian view, is that they just assume everybody can be an entrepreneur. And they say, you know, that you don't need a safety net when you've created a situation where millions of people have to have a safety net. 1 in 30 people with autism now, or whatever it is, all those people being born, they need some kind of services. So we'll have to see what happens. But it's a great show, however you look at it. It's more interesting than anything I've seen in my life politically.
It's fun to watch. I mean, the memes themselves, it's incredible.
And it's UFOs are real too.
I mean, it's the best apocalypse. If it's the end, it's the best end ever.
It's pretty wild. I'm like, this is my favorite time to be alive, but it has been like most of my life, because shit's been fucking crazy my whole life, in our whole lives. And this is just getting wilder and wilder, and I like love it. The craziest thing, though, maybe we can talk about this now, is all those good fruits might be cool and whatever, and really, really bad fruit in Palestine. Like, holy shit. I love insane it is, too. We went straight to just, like, get rid of all the Palestinians, and the U.S. will just own that territory. It's totally
hey,
cool,
ethnic
guys.
Cleansing is fine. It's fine as long as the good billionaires are doing it. And you can exterminate a native population based solely on an expansionist, satanic mindset as long as the good billionaires are doing it.
I think he said they're welcome back, though, didn't he? So it can't be extermination if he openly said they're bringing back after it's built up.
That's being very generous, Graham. I hope someday you're as generous with me.
I will.
Did he say that they were going to build stuff?
I mean,
in
I think
Jordan
Hitler said the exact same thing with the Jews. We're just going to.
I don't think he did. I don't think he said they're welcome back. I don't think he said
no,
they're
welcome
back.
Welcome back.
Well, but they were planning that with Jordan. That's in that Oded Yidan plan from the 80s, which I think Steve and I have talked about before, where they said a bunch of things that all of which came true, and one of them was move the Palestinians into Jordan. And it was clear.
Yeah. Oh, that's what's.
And look what's going to happen. He throws that out there, and everybody starts doing it on their own, right? He makes shit happen by threatening to do it himself. So maybe he doesn't even plan on doing it, but it's going to happen.
I mean, it's the wrong thing's already happened. They've already leveled it. But, you know, I think this was in the work. This, I think, is a demonstration of the continuity of government across administrations. Because a year ago, I wrote, or in March of last year, I did a show. Say we're going to have boots on the ground, U.S. boots on the ground. That's why the Israelis went in and we tried to give them food, but we accidentally shot them all dead. We just don't know how to give food out. And it was very clear there was a reason that got so much airtime. And they tried to build that dock for $300 million, but I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. So it was very clear that it was meant for the U.S. to come in. And even at that time, I said, they're scraping that thing to make a Disneyland. Like, it's sick. And they probably already have the negotiations underway for literally a Disneyland. You know, I wouldn't be surprised because it's a resort type place. And, you know, it has that physical location. So why would, you know, it's not like his idea. He's following on something that's been in the works for 40 years. It's specifically in that way.
But in Trump's proposal is so off the wall. I mean, it's so extreme and it's in, and I, Our policy has been so bad that we've been paying for what Israel has been doing. So this kind of actually impinges on Israel's territory if we actually say we're going to come take it over, because Israel wants us just to keep paying for everything, but they want to do it.
I have thought that maybe this is evidence that Israel still works for the Anglo-American Empire and not the other way around, or the people who control all three of those points are, you know, so I have a long time, because Netanyahu lost three elections. So he's really, you know, he's working for somebody.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're right.
Well, it's okay. Netanyahu also gave him that gold pager or whatever recently, which is just insane as well. And I just wonder, you know, if you were in a position
sometime,
right?
Careful,
exactly.
Or this will blow
like,
up.
This is a threat. Like, it's wild too. You used to have to like dig to analyze some of these things, but this one's literally just like the golden pagers on a plaque. Like, here you go. Like, it's pretty wild shit. But I just wonder. It's potentially possible. Like you said, it is. There's no solution to this problem. Israel has you by the balls no matter who you are, if you're at this level. And if you are actually trying in any way, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what you would do to get out of that situation. I'm not trying to give this guy any credit he doesn't deserve. Like, no. I started hating him, but I just wonder, because it's not the same as anything I've heard before, even though it seems to generally sort of fit the pattern.
Well, it's expect a biggest pro-Zionist to do something like that, but we're paying for it either way.
Or it's what you would expect a normal person to say when they hear about how entrenched this whole thing is and how many decades it's been going on, is can't you just move them out for now? Or
that's
do something
like
that?
This,
I mean, that's what a normal
person
would say the only solution is.
That's ridiculous because he's been in bed with them for so long. I mean, he's obviously
his grandchildren are
everything.
Being raised Orthodox.
Yeah, but everybody's saying it's a crazy solution,
in his
right?
Son-in-law's bed. I mean, it's not. No, this is part of the plan. He was told, obviously.
Crazier than what's been going on. I don't know that it's worse than what we've been doing because they've pretty much, you know, almost wiped out the Palestinians. Now I don't know why we're sending a bunch of condoms to
Palestinians. You can't say once we're here. Every war, everybody who inherits war, that's almost why they have to switch presidents. Every time you inherit a war, it's like, well, I didn't start it. I wouldn't have started it, but we got to finish it. You have to go back. This is a continuum. They're setting things. He was there 8 years ago. There's a continuity here, especially when it comes to what's happening in the Middle East that you can trace back to the Oded Yidan plan, to Wesley Clark, to everything.
Black-pilled shit on the planet to me to hear people be like, well, it's going to happen anyway, so what else are we going to do? So we might as well ethnically cleanse the area, because there was a one-liner about maybe they'll return. But look at what the current reality is. Look at what living in the West Bank is right now, with checkpoints and settler raids and all that kind of stuff. Like, the current reality is literally hell on earth for these people. So
I left a long time ago.
We're gonna fuck it, but it's your land. It's the only place you have a connection to. It's where all of your history is. And I don't know, dude. I remember being fucking.
I'm saying what I would like, do.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, calculation. Some people, it's all you have. Like, yes, you could abandon it and give up hope.
I want to move out of California. I can't afford to.
I live on the fucking moon now. Well, I can't sell my house. It's on the moon.
Well, you're right.
I don't know
if
you saw my gesture, but I literally, like, shot myself because I said I would leave.
Oh.
Well, they have
the most evil thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh.
But I mean, I think Trump, too, he certainly wasn't trying to criticize Israel because he's the biggest Zionist in the world. But he did, you know, they it's showing pictures of how it is. It's the shell. There's nothing there now. He basically said there's nothing there. They, you know, of course, he doesn't say why it happened. You know, like, how did that happen? You know, but so I don't. And, but I have to think again, this maybe, I think somebody said that this may be more of Trump's blustering, where he's just doing all this and maybe something will happen because he's threatening to do it, because that's what he did his first term. He threatened to do things and said something and then never did it. That's why what makes what he's doing with Doge so unique, because his things are actually happening in terms, even the tariffs. Look at the tariffs. He's backed off on them too. And he says he's going to do it, and then he makes deals. I think it's probably going to be something like that. But if people that talk about this, there's nobody. Bobby Kennedy, who I love in many ways, is being followed around by Rabbi Shmuley. None of the other than Thomas Massie, there's nobody in American public life, and the squad who are insane and hate white people. You know, other than those people, everybody else is a Zionist. So anybody you get in there is going to do, it's just Trump does it in his own unique way, in his outlandish way, and coming up with something like this that everybody just scratches their head. Well, I've never heard anything like that. But you're not going to get an even-handed policy anywhere from any of these policies. Nobody's going to say to Israel, hey, you know, this is ridiculous what you've been doing, and we paid for it. This is awful. You know, more
he
money
could just
for
cut
you.
It off. If he was exactly, a really independent yes. person, he could just yes, cut it all off. Ukraine, everything. He could just walk away. But that's not why he's there.
C-O-G. The weapons contracts. Yes. So go ahead, Charlie.
COG. ZOG.
Yes.
And the weapons contracts in Ukraine are guaranteed through 2027.
Long.
Right. So Trump was never going to do anything about that because it's the self-perpetuating money laundering machine. He's placed his son-in-law in charge of reconstruction in freaking Gaza.
It's gross.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think the contracts were already put in place, and he is a breaker of contracts from way back.
Yeah,
have to be able to say that. But that's what I think, is that they have been divvying up this land over there for, you know, since before October 7th, but that was
whether it's the land or what's underneath it, right? The resources, the oil with Genie Energy.
I think there's a lot to the
natural
gas fields off the coast of Gaza.
You know,
the canal that you talk about,
right?
Yeah,
Charlie.
Right. There's an entire economy that's also sort of predicated on things going this way politically and religiously and all ideologically.
Oh,
right. There's a huge financial opportunity that these guys have a hold of, and
the United Middle Eastern States kind of thing. We're gonna, you know, blow it all up, and then you just build it straight out of the ground, like Dubai or whatever.
Build back better.
Yeah. I'm from Build Back Better Ground Zero right now. That's very
yeah.
I'm going to have to run, guys. I put in the chat because I
hey, thanks for coming, Don. Friends. We appreciate,
no, I appreciate you.
Thank
I'm glad
you, Don. That was,
you know,
great.
This was
nice to talk to you.
Last minute. Well, promote your Substack real quick.
Donald Jeffries at Substack.com. I protest. The only place I'm not being shadow banned. So please subscribe to there, and I'd be very happy.
Thanks Don.
Guys.
You're the best.
It's great talking with you all. Take care.
Yeah. Monica, what's the vibe in the burned out area? I mean, what is the what's being done? What's being prevented from being done? What are you getting?
I'll tell you. So we're the only people who move back. So we've got this little sliver of like 10 houses that are habitable from the outside. My one neighbor who never left for a minute, and that's probably why we have 10 houses here. And we just came back without really thinking too hard about it, but nobody else is coming back because it really feels toxic. I'm always like, like there's always something in the air. The EPA was actually on my lawn today, and I was literally to the point where I got to move out of here. I can't stay here any longer because I cleaned the whole house, and then ash started building up again, comes right through the windows. The house is old. So, and I went out, and you'd figure they would say, like, yeah, I wouldn't be here, but they were like, no, you're fine. I said, I have these little monitors. I have air cleaners. He said, if the little monitors, like, are they cheap crap? It's like, no, they're good, whatever. He's like, if you have monitors that work, you can, like, I do that at my own home. And they were laughing. They were like, yeah, you're fine, which is great, but it smells like smoke. It looks pretty bad. Most people aren't coming back until they get their own testing done. The government is saying, don't have your insurance company tear down this rubble and everything. They won't even get their permit, like, if you do it by yourself, until we've done it. So they're really discouraging people from doing it on their own. They're going to come in and do it. I'm worried because it's going to get nasty when they, I mean, this is going to be years, and a lot of it's going to be plowing that stuff up. And we got the rugs taken out to get clean today. And just as they took the rugs up, then those monitors went through the roof because it blew the dust up. So as, I mean, I'm just learning so much about this stuff, and I just worry, I don't even mind like being quasi sick all the time, but I just wonder, what are the long-term implications of that? Like, I have a responsibility, if not to the bunnies, to my son who has Down syndrome, can't make his own choices. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, this is a real, what about the, I mean, has there been any talk of like eminent domain where the government just comes in and says, listen, we'll just, you're going to have to fight with the insurance companies and you could do that, but why don't we just take this off your hands?
I haven't heard that here, but I'm not one of the people who lost their property. I have heard that there have been a lot of offers, and you can see on every street corner, like the list of things that are stapled up for everywhere from like fire remediation to like sell your lot. And but there are kind of global advisors who will go on the news saying Altadena is a perfect place to just build tons and tons of affordable housing because it is. Right. And that, and it always was affordable housing, but they're just little one story homes. And so far from the city, it's like 45 minutes to get downtown. That most, it's not like people who have big jobs or anything. We live in kind of the mountains a little bit. There's room enough for those little houses to come back, but I fear that they're going to build those big multi-use things on one side of the street and on the other side, like McMansions, which is going to be super annoying also. It just sucks because Altadena was very cute. It was a place where in the 70s, very charming. It was originally made as like where the servants lived for the mountain houses. So that was like over 100 years ago, it was like that. And then in the 70s, artists and a lot of blacks came up here because there were these riots and like out of control LA cops. So you have a little artist community. It's just very affordable, very eclectic. We had no tension. There was none of that. There's even like a bum oriented liquor store down the street, and I really had no problems at all. And once in a while, I'd run out with a beer, like some guy looked like he didn't get his fix, but there were no problems that I was aware of. And there's absolutely no way we're ever getting that back. But I feel bad because I'm like overjoyed that I have a place to live, because I was like kind of in a shitty Airbnb and all that. I'm just so happy. But I just look out and I see 9,000 people who, families who don't have, they have to all get furnished like Airbnbs. But I don't know how you could get your mind around rebuilding. And I think a lot of people will not, because a lot of people are like me, their kids kind of went to college, they moved here for a smaller house. So, you know, then they're gonna be like, all right, I'll just fucking move to Texas or Florida or whatever, where it's cheaper.
Can you?
Could I? Yeah. I couldn't, because my house did not burn to the ground. If my house burned to the ground, right, I would have gotten a lot of money. But because I just bought it, I know exactly how much it costs and all this stuff in it. And I was fully insured. There's a lot of people are only insured, like they get their insurance when they buy the house and they don't say, well, it's worth twice as much now. I could never rebuild it. It would, if this, but I love this house. It's an old house. I have thousands of books. So I didn't want it to go down. But now all the equity that we put into it is gone. So we have a huge mortgage, and it's fine. Like, we live, it makes no difference because we live in it, we pay, it's fine. But but it's a weird situation. I think I would say I would be surprised if half the people didn't just vacate. That it's too bad, because it was a very cute little place to not really feel like LA stupidity.
God, it's like they've worked so hard to empty California. Everybody has had to flee for so many reasons over the years, and then now this is just the latest
And
sort of
this is the
restructuring.
only place I ever lived in LA where everybody was born here, because I have a son who has Down syndrome who escapes. Like, his thing is to elope. And in my previous community, San Marino, everybody speaks Chinese. And in the one before that, everybody spoke Spanish. So I don't speak either of those. So when I would run around saying, like, did you see a kid with Down syndrome?
Right.
They couldn't understand what I was saying. But here, the first day I moved in, dumb kid runs away. And by the time I like got to the far end of the block, those people already heard. And they said, oh, you're the boy with the, he belongs to the Cypresses. If we see him, we'll bring him back, And so it was just an instant change. And I remember thinking, what are they going to do? Like, put a billboard up in Shanghai, like move to Altadena? Like, how are they going to change this?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's over.
Well, wasn't Newsom talking about how,
Oh,
Pacific Palisades going to have to be
sure.
built back with a little higher density, right?
It's
This
much
is
worse there.
that California
And
plan.
science.
And science, yeah. And they had
In
all those
science.
places on the ocean, which were cool. They had like crab shacks and mobile home parks that were there for so long. That's really tragic, because then it'll just, like, it's like New York City. It's just too gets too rich, and then it's got no character at all, no access. It's over. It's gross.
Yeah,
I
Larry
hate that.
Ellison will buy another dozen
Ugh.
lots in Malibu to add
But
to his
the
collection.
$500 billion he's getting from Daddy Donnie,
Buy
he's
all of
gonna,
Carbon Canyon.
I love Graham and Darren.
Yeah,
I
I'm afraid I
do.
chase everybody away
I
with my
do.
cynicism, and then my house burns
It's
down,
not
and I'm laughing.
cynicism, dude.
It
It's
didn't burn
walking
down. My house
outside
did
your
not burn
door and
down.
describing what you see. That's not
Yeah. No, I
cynical.
want to know like
That's an
what's going
accurate
on.
description of reality.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
Well, he's
okay
talking
to
about
do that.
Trump. Charlie's talking about the fire,
Oh,
but
I'm
yeah,
talking
the
about the
oh
fires.
yeah, but both. I mean,
Well,
it's just totally bizarre.
we're it's been an arsonist in both cases, probably.
Yeah,
Let's be honest. I
figuratively
mean, you're a
and
political arsonist.
literally. No,
Yeah.
people call me an optimist because I talk about good news, and I'm like, no, I'm just looking at good news. I just look at things that are good and I say, oh, that's good. It doesn't
Got to
mean I don't
curate
look at
your
the bad
content.
news.
I got a
Yeah.
lot of cat videos on
I
my Twitter.
also talk about the bad shit too, and no one calls me a cynic, but for some reason, if I you're not allowed to talk about conspiracy and like darkness and Satanists and then also talk about good things. So you have to be like depressed and angry and like constantly yelling, or else
Well,
people don't trust you. So that's what
currently,
I've
you're
learned.
only a cynic and you're only black-pilled if you're accurately describing the incoming technocracy. And
Two.
it didn't used to be like it was totally different just a couple of years ago. I'm calling them broflakes now. They're broflakes. They're the people who
That's great.
rightfully and righteously called out the left for years for a naive ideological devotion to a technocratic state. And now they're doing the exact same cheerleading because it's their team.
Yeah.
So
I
they're not
don't see that, but
snowflakes.
I
They're
don't know any
really,
Republicans, so
have you looked at, I mean, dude, just scroll
probably not,
Twitter for
no.
5 minutes
Oh, I mean,
and
I
you
get that
will.
there's like Republicans and stuff, but I didn't see those people like
Libertarians too.
criticizing the same things in the other direction. So I don't
Oh
pay enough attention to them. The
We're
people in my
anti-WEF,
circle,
we're
that I should
anti-Klaus
say the
Schwab, we're
normies.
anti-George Soros, we're anti-fucking Eric Schmidt, we're anti-AI, we're anti-brain chip, we're anti-mRNA injections, we're anti-AI being used as a platform to tailor make an mRNA injections. All of these, there's a whole media apparatus that existed for years
I'm not confused
around
about
that.
that. I was talking about like regular people. The normies in my life were all from leftist backgrounds. So I see the leftists and I see all what they're saying still. And so those are the only, that's the only contact I get with like regular people. And they're amazing. Their level of denial and delusion is just
Oh,
incredible.
here.
So I don't
It
have the
really
same
is a
access to
minimal.
the Republican
TDS and
side.
TDSDS. So it's like
Well, and
you
even
just
the
heard it.
people who aren't even, they don't even care about Trump, but they feel like they're criticizing the government. But then they're also like, so I don't even know how to, it's so delusional. Like, I can't even explain. And I try to ask them, I'm like, wait, so just explain this to me. And then they just call me names and disappear. And I'm like,
Yes.
I don't
Yeah, there's a
fucking know,
lot. And
dude.
everyone thinks, because I don't, people think I'm a Trump supporter.
Me too.
Me too.
Because I live in LA. Like, and anything, I'm just like, but that's not really how it is. But here's, Steve, maybe you can explain this to me. There's then that whole nother faction that's, I hate to label and I don't follow it, so I don't really know, but there's the Christian nationalism thing. There's like the kind of rewriting the Hitler stuff and all of that. And are they also kind of pro-Trump? Because then pro-Trump turns around and he's like, his descendants are Jewish. Like, I don't really understand it.
I think
Christians and Jews like think that they're the same or something. Well, I don't really
it's
get it
a
either.
Jew. Even, okay. Yeah, okay. That, so let's untangle this web of shit here for a second. All right. There's a couple of different things that are going on. And one is, you know, standard marketed history is more or less always a lie. So what we were taught when we were 14, we've all come to find out didn't really happen that way. So there's that, but there's such a captured narrative, and it's such a controlled environment and a controlled landscape that there came a point very recently, right at the end of, I think, January or something like that, when Laura Loomer, Jigsaw, got weaponized to go after and get rid of the Groypers over the little, you know, gay Nick Fuentes people, to get rid of them from Elon Musk's WeChat of the West, because they were pointing out some pretty inconvenient things. So during the H-1B visa conversation, when Elon and Vivek came out and said, every American is an untrainable retard and we have to replace you with Indians, the Groypers, rightfully, in my opinion, pushed back on that a little bit. They're all gone.
Yeah,
they're all gone.
very interesting.
So we've got a situation now where specifically like the Orthodox community and the evangelical community, who went deep in the paint for Donald Trump, is wrestling with, you know, do we trade what we know to be true for what we want to believe in? And because these are people who exist in a world of faith, they're willing to put faith into this particular situation. And look, I'm not trying to tell anybody not to live by faith. You should, you know,
No, I'm mad at Vance for fake converting to Catholicism. That's super annoying to me. Yeah. I have to give you a little tidbit, which I might have told you once before, but I have to remind you, Steve, if I can.
Yeah, please.
I believe I told you this with last time we talked, that Cass Sunstein's, what was it called? Conspiracy theory memo. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Was co-written by a guy named Adrian Vermeule. And if you look on Wiki at Adrian Vermeule, he's a Harvard professor who is credited with starting and continuing to advocate this Catholic integralism, which is that the United States should be basically a confessional state, that it should be a Catholic. It's not even a Catholic majority country. And so this is a guy who invented cognitive infiltration. The actual person who invented cognitive infiltration also invented Catholic integralism. And then you see people like J.D. Vance convert to Catholicism, and it bums me out because we got enough problems with the, you know, Pope who drinks baby's blood. Like, I don't need this too. But I
don't know what you're talking about, but I know that Catholicism is a good choice for the state because they have such hierarchical. Like,
yeah, that's why they want to do it. They could eradicate religion, but they found out that you can't. So they like Islam in Europe for that reason, to bring in the not necessarily the hierarchical, but the church and state, you know, the morality laws, that kind of thing.
It was only just a year or two ago when a lot of the big right wing influencers started converting to Islam too.
And Catholicism.
Right wing.
And Catholicism. Yes. Andrew Tate.
Oh,
And a whole bunch of like the manosphere.
It's very strict, all and the converted to Islam are actually good. Like I know some Muslims in my
oh yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Halal is a decent idea.
Yeah, all has good stuff. Of course, it's like the stones. It wouldn't have worked if they weren't good. like but, the yeah. Tavistock angle.
But like the weaponization of Islam has been so fucked. Like you can't undo it. It's in gray now. Now you've gone like
maybe
so
it started
deep.
That
like
way.
It's just self-propelled. Like yeah,
it might have started that way. You might be interested in the Milner Fabian conspiracy, which I was shocked to find that the punchline is infiltrate Europe with Islam so that you can. It's like the great, in my opinion, it's the 21st century dialectic where the synthesis is a kind of denatured, you know, where you know, like COVID had you people wearing masks. Yeah. For absolutely no reason. Like that was totally ritualistic. And you could even confront somebody with the fact that it had no value, which of course is shooting me in the foot because I am literally like, I was in smoke for 10 hours and my son kept being like, wear a mask. I'm like, ah, masks. You
know? Oh, they're still
like
wearing them.
A respirator. Well, respirators actually work. Yeah, people come to my house and I have to show them the little monitor because I can't talk to people wearing a mask. I cannot hear what they are saying. So anyway, but you do it. It just seemed like one of those many secular adaptations of that. Really,
I headbutted Andrew Wilson the other night on Twitter, who's a pretty prominent Orthodox Christian, has a very popular debate show, stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, square the circle for me. And it was over the speaking in tongues Protestant preacher that Trump has appointed as his like own personal White House religious counsel.
That lady? Like,
yeah, yeah.
She speaks in tongues.
She speaks in tongues. It's hilarious, Lindsay. It's
that.
So funny, dude. I'll send you a couple of the clips.
Please do.
They're hysterical. They really are.
I have to say, as I'm laughing and mocking this, that I do think there's people who can't speak in tongues, and I don't think most of the people who pretend to are doing it. So I'll just
Yeah,
throw
I think
that
there's
there.
People who are channels and conduits, and they can absolutely receive this information and relate it the way that they hear it. That's not to say that this woman is doing that. No. I think she's a fucking charlatan. Okay.
I'd be cool if she is, but I bet she's not.
But I'm like, yo, dude, from the ortho bro perspective, because you guys went so hard for Trump, like, it make this decision make sense. You're out here doing Trump is your daddy live streams and TikTok invasions and stuff like that. And like, what is it, just you want liberal tears to drink every day with your morning coffee? Is that the only reason?
Yes, that's it.
So. Trump's a pretty weirdly mystical guy, too. It's actually weird. Like, he actually...
He's a Kabbalist.
Really? Yeah. Think so?
Oh, yeah.
He seems like completely... If you heard him before this whole thing, all he did was, like, talk about how his women, about how good looking they were.
But this is the best disguise, is to meet people where they're at. And like, oh, you want to hear me talk about women?
I'm talking about Howard Stern 20 years ago.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Oh. Like, if you're talking to Howard Stern, you're going to talk about women and shit. But if you're talking to someone else, you're going to put on a different mat. Like, he is fucking expert.
And
one of the people who breaks this down really well, and you can agree or disagree with his conclusions, but he'll just show you all of the shit that Trump's life, that he has created in his life in order to be a ritualistic magician, basically. Robert Sepper breaks it down really well. I think that specific episode is called The Trump Bloodline. I'm not sure, but it's pretty fascinating. There's no accents here.
I mean, Roy Cohn was his mentor.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Roy Cohn was a Kabbalistic Zionist who performed ritualistic magic as practice for going back to before the McCarthy hearings.
Yeah. And we'll just say, too, a lot of that tradition going back far enough, it does involve like sacrifice, blood ritual and worse, sex magic and all sorts of stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, sex magic, again, could be good. Most times not.
This is a Roy Cohn book, How to Stand Up for Your Rights and Win. They say that Trump learned at Roy Cohn's knee, and actually he defended him when he was in his disbarment trial, which he lost. And in 2012, I think it was something like the day after Trump filed whatever he had to file to run for office the next term, the storage facility that had the testimony of Trump in favor of Roy Cohn burned to the ground.
Whoops.
Gee, who even
stakes
were
what
was
made.
In that? Yeah. I mean, at least they didn't blow up the whole building OKC style or Building 7 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's true, very true.
It just fell down. We don't know what happened.
Just fell down.
We had a little oopsie.
Too many people died. We just thought, just bring it down. Snap your fingers.
You know everything is going really well when they have to bulldoze a building. Kids are shot here. Bulldoze it quick.
And it works. And like the Georgia Guidestones, like nobody really pays. Like, you know what? They just blew those things up. Like, okay, never mind. Keep moving. Like somebody definitely did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Steve, who do you have on? Let's wrap this thing up and let the good people go. Let's see. Steve, what's your lineup this week?
Last American Vagabond on a T-Lab Tuesday, and I'm pretty sure we have somebody on tomorrow, but I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. We had a great conversation with my friend Megan Walsh, who Don talked about earlier in the program here. Megan Walsh is an absolute warrior and just a phenomenal human being. Let's see. We've got upcoming shows with Texas Slim is back this week. Carrie Wedler's coming up. Gareth Ike is coming back on very soon. Just had a great conversation with him recently. Drew Treglia, the director of Jones Plantation and Barnum World, starring the great Charlie Robinson.
It's true.
Nice.
He's coming on soon.
Starring.
Yes, you're the narrator.
I'm the narrator.
You're the narrator.
You're a star. So
you're the principal character. Accept it, dude. Accept it. It's okay. It is. It's the best damn morning show on the interwebs.
I agree.
Go to amwakeupshow.com for absolutely everything. And as always, my friend, I remain eternally humble and very grateful to be invited on the best ensemble podcast in the universe.
We're always glad to have you. It's fun to get to the bottom of these things. We handle some pretty heavy topics, and I think it's important to have the conversations and sort of work out our positions on them. And our positions are allowed to change if we get better information. If we learn something that we didn't know before, you go, oh shit, I didn't know about that. You go, yeah, well, there's a little bit more to this story. Have you considered this angle? So it's great to have the conversations now and kind of work it out in a way that makes sense. And so that people can.
Ooh, can I do a Third Eye Carnival plug real quick?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So April 4th through 6th, about a half an hour north of Nashville, Tennessee. We are gathering in celebration of life and escape from the technocracy. And the way that we're doing it is Ryan Christian, Last American Vagabond, and I were born a day apart at the beginning of April. And so we've been threatening a co-birthday party for years. So we're doing that this year, and we're doing it Friday night, April 4th, on an 18-acre farm with a big old barn that has a stage built into it, and there's 10 bonfire pits on the property, and you can camp out, and there's going to be food and all that kind of stuff. And the way that we're doing it is like Willie Nelson's birthday, where everybody that we know that plays music gets up and plays music. And we've got some incredible people coming out to do that, including Scott Armstrong, friend of the show here, with his newly released Universal Basic Awesome album, Frank Kavanaugh from the band Filter formerly, hopefully Greg Reese, because him and Greg are neighbors, and so he's gonna drag Greg. And would love to get Greg down there for that. Pete Prada, who used to be in the Offspring, who's in this band right now, the hat that I'm wearing. Lots of people are coming out for that particular part. The next day is live podcast featuring Charlie Robinson and a number of other people, along with stand-up comedy from Brad Binkley from Propaganda Report, Leonarda Joni, who's been kind of blowing up a little bit. And she's just tremendous. So very happy to have her on board for this. And then headlining is Sam Tripoli. Yeah. And we're going to have an absolute blast. If you click on any AM Wake Up show over the last couple of weeks, there's a ticket link there for you. Please get them early. They're limited. You're going to want to do that. It's going to sell out. And then Sunday, the property owner historically does Cowboy Church. So we're going to have Cowboy Church And then we're going to do another live panel or two and then, you know, help her clean up and get the heck out. So if you're into incredible live music, great live podcasts, and phenomenal stand-up comedy, this is something that you should take a look at.
Yep, I agree. I'll be there. Yep, I've already got my stuff. I haven't booked it yet, but I got.
Oh, and huge thanks to Tony Arterburn from Wise Wolf Gold for being a sponsor of the event and making it just so that we can get Sam out there.
Tony's the best. We all know that. Wise Wolf Gold has been one of my sponsors for a while. I'll see him in Mexico next week as well. He's a sponsor there. So yeah, definitely. We talk about how these live events are really important, and three of the four of us did. We're in Pueblo just last summer,
and we're running it back this year too. Friday night's 4th of July, we're gonna shoot fireworks off the roof.
All right,
awesome.
Good. So we got to do the live events. It's good. It connects you, makes you feel like you're not losing your mind. There's people out there. Okay, all right. Yeah, and there, it, I think it's good for everyone. It's a nice vibe, at least the ones I've been to. And I'll be, like I said, I'll be in Mexico next week, so I with Gareth Eich as well. So, and a bunch of fucking weirdos. It's going to be the best, man. And I say weirdos with all due love and respect, man. It is just it's like the bar from Star Wars there, man. It's just like people, like cast offs from all over the planet come there, and they just, it's such a killer vibe. And the people are so inspiring. And, you know, so that's been my experience at these events, be it in Acapulco or Third Eye Carnival. You know, it's just been, it's just a good batch. So Monica, what are you doing? What are you working on?
So I haven't done as many of my shows as usual, but I did do a couple of great shows lately. One was AI Resistance with Gabriel Custodiat, an urban hacker. I don't know if you guys know him, but he does, he does the Watchman Privacy podcast. So if you want to understand how to use the VPN or the deep webs, I made him teach me how to do that. And he's got a workshop out on AI, like how to use it start to finish. What are the problems? Cool. What are the potentials? So it was very good. I had the podcast on, this is on the Monica Perez Show. And I just put up yesterday a Cognitive Dissidence, which I do with Hervoy Morich and Parallel Mike. I never like to miss that because they're coming from Poland and Mexico, and we just kind of get the world view. So I've got to, you know, I'm trying to post things. And then I am in the currently reading a book and doing a discussion of this book called The Makers of the Modern Mind, which is super fascinating. And I think I'm going to be talking to Carlwood about that soon. Oh, nice. And you talked to him recently. It's just like one chapter on each of these guys, Darwin and Bentham and stuff like that. It's just, I like to have a little education, and people love the series. So you can listen to all of that on the Monica Perez Show, and you can tweet at me at Monica Perez Show.
Yeah, I know. You and I got into the Miller Fabian book.
Yeah,
that you were reading one time. It's fun to geek out. I'm glad you're doing that show kind of continuously with Hervoy and Parallel Mike.
They keep me on my toes. I like could barely keep up this time, because normally I read the news every single day and I'm like ready. But this time I was really catching my breath by the end of it. But it's a good show. But I have to get back in the groove. Thanks.
I love Hervoy. He's great.
Oh yeah,
he's great. Yeah.
He was a professor, so he'll say like that you did not enunciate that clear enough. Like, oh my gosh. And like, we're podcasters, man.
That's funny.
See, when he comes on my show, he's just waking up and just drinking coffee, so my grammatical errors just slide right by. Doesn't even notice.
No, he has it's the vulgarity. He does not love. Doesn't love the vulgarity, I gotta say. So he's got the wrong girl. I hated to tell him that, but I'm on my best behavior around him.
He and I have had late night tacos in Austin and Acapulco.
Nice. Awesome.
We left the American Liberty Awards at like 1:30 in the morning. We came out on 6th Street in Austin, came out, we're like, gotta get something to eat. Went around the corner, like, we're looking for the food trucks, and we're like, what is there some sort of theme going on? Like, what is happening here? Well, we had walked out into the tail end of a gay pride parade.
Oh my gosh.
And it was me and Hervoy and Hesher from TNT. And we were like, well, we gotta eat. You know what I mean? Like, we got to eat somewhere. And so we're just like,
is he super huge? Is her voice super huge? Yeah, he's like six tacos at a time.
He's like 6'5".
He's 6'3 and 270.
Really? Because he was talking to me. He's like, I got $30 worth of tacos. I was like, for yourself in Mexico?
We determined that the other day. Yeah, 6'3, 270. Drew Treglia is 6'3, like 285. So they were like, we got to meet
in person yet.
Yeah, he was like, we got to meet. We got to hang out. So they're both going to meet and hang out at Anarchapoco.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, Lindsay, what's cooking with Rogue Waves? How's it going? I mean, I see you every week with Day Zero, and it's great. So now
every week
with
Day Zero, which everyone who likes the show would love Day Zero if they're not already checking it out.
Comedy.
Yes, allegedly things happen. I do the winning report every Wednesday. So I go through, again, the happenings of the world. I am not actually an optimist. I'm just describing things as they go. But so many of them are actually better. And like, again, our community sucks at paying attention to those things. So I enjoy doing that. That's why I call it the winning report. I also recently I had Sherry Edwards on. She's a voice analyst. And so she, uses this technology to analyze voices. She goes into the medical indications and all this. She's a doctor by training. And so she has a really interesting thing to talk about. She analyzed Trump's voice before he was allegedly attempted to be assassinated and afterwards. Nice. And you can't, whatever he is or isn't, like, I don't think you're a good enough actor to change your voice for not knowing that people are going to be analyzing it in this way. And there's a very distinct difference. So that's fascinating. Wow. So that's a recent episode. I also recently went into the birth control scam and how our hormones have all been affected by eugenicists over time, even if we didn't take any birth control or do anything like that. So that was interesting. I just noticed that, I think we're all of a similar age and people of our age group seem to be having horrible hormonal problems, men and women. Very few of them don't actually. And I think most of them don't know it. So I was also going into some of the problems and solutions around that. I just want to throw out there too, I know we're closing up, but I just read something where the Merck I don't know if there was a leaker or whistleblower or what, but somebody came out and there's papers showing that Merck knew that there was mRNA in their HPV injections, which I want to say I called years ago. As soon as they rolled out all this COVID shit, I was like, this is exactly like the HPV injection and we all got cancer from it. I got cancer from it. So is it the same? Were they using mRNA and they just weren't telling us? And this was the test run for the test run that was going to come. And vindication. Yeah, it seems to be exactly what happened. So
interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're 100% correct on that. Absolutely. That's what they did.
I didn't get cancer from nothing. Right?
Yeah, just fell out of the sky. They did a big study. What causes cancer? And they're like, it's random.
They would love for you to believe that. Your starting position needs to be the government and Big Pharma hates my guts and wants me dead.
Yeah.
Once you understand that, then it all starts to make a little bit more sense that they want you sick and dependent on them. I want to mention Darren Grimes and Graham Dunlop from Grimerica and adultbrain.ca if you're interested in some of the books behind Monica there in audio format. Go to adultbrain.ca and there's a good chance that the boys have recorded some of those books. They each did my books as well. Darren did Hypocrisy, which just came out in audiobook format, and Graham did The Octopus of Global Control for me last year. So I've already used them to do my books. And if you're an author, by the way, also, and you want to have them turn your audiobook in, consider them for that as well, because they're starting to do that as well. I was very happy with the results.
The Story of Philosophy, which is up there with the Makers of the Modern Mind, is a great resource for people. It's just like all the different philosophers in a way that you can actually understand the important stuff. They did that.
Nice. Nice. And Don Jeffries, Substack, I Protest. Sam Tripoli, samtripoli.com, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Go catch him where you can. He's out there. He was out in Ohio last weekend and hung out with Midnight Mike. And Midnight Mike is gone to fight the New World Order again, as he is often called to do. But he was nice enough to have me on OBDM as a guest host last Wednesday. And that's always a treat for me, because I'm very forthright in my love of that show, that Our Big Dumb Mouth podcast.
So it's funny. Yeah.
Hysterical. It's so funny. If you can find the humor in the character that is Alex Jones, you will love OBDM. It is, you just need to listen twice, as he says. You got to give it two episodes, and then after that, you'll be hooked. Yep. So go check out OBDM Pod. Ricky Verandis, the Ripple Effect podcast. He's always got great guests on. He just had Dr. Jack Cruz on a couple weeks ago, and he hooked me up with his info. Wow. And so I just interviewed him for Macroaggression. So that'll be out as well. So I'm sort of stealing Ricky's thunder in that regard, but he's such an interesting guy. I needed to talk to him. I mean, I think
definitely
about in South America is really fascinating.
Yeah, never do a podcast indoors again.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
The guy who does everything outside.
I'm doing it outside with his shirt off and everything. Like, damn, why didn't I think of that?
I just have to keep taking my shoes off after I listen to that guy.
When I first started doing this, all of my shows were outside.
That's true. It's funny. Really? I remember that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, macroaggressions.io. You can go there and find out everything that I got cooking. Like I said, Hypocrisy 2nd Edition is out in paperback on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and in audiobook format on Amazon, Audible, Spotify, and I guess they get syndicated out to a bunch of places. So wherever you get your audiobooks, consider Hypocrisy. New cover on it as well, thanks to Jack Merkel. And if you haven't already bookmarked Activist Post, we're republishing fantastic articles from a bunch of people. We put the Parallel Mike Hervoy Monica interview up. We put the AM Wake up on there. Lindsay, have we put yours up? Maybe.
I'm somewhere on there. Rogueways is
somewhere
on there,
I think. So it's a great one-stop shop for a lot of information, great articles written by fearless writers around the world that are doing the actual work. They're talking about the things in real time when they matter, not 3 years down the road after it's already too late. So if you're interested in living in the future, go to activistpost.com and naturalblaze.com. Thanks, everybody. Union of the Unwanted. Bookmark it. Rate it. Rate everybody's shows if you can. Give them 5 stars. We're going to fight the algorithm battle against these motherfuckers. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye.